What's going on in America? With us today is Senator Tom Cotton from the great state of Arkansas, and he has a few things to say. Good morning, Senator Cotton. How are you?
I'm doing well, John. It's good to be back on with you. Thanks for having me.
Always good to have you. Now, Senator, there's an attack on America. I spoke to Cardinal Dolan the other day, and our judiciary branch of the our governments are under attack for the local DAs. The religion is under attack from the Democratic Party and the woke culture. And our education system is under attack. Our borders are under attack. Our prices of gasoline are doubling. What's going on in America? And we'll start where you'd like to start.
Well, John, what I think you're seeing is the Democratic left's, you know, century-long march towards open anti-Americanism. You know, liberals today like to refer to themselves as progressives. The original progressives, most notably Woodrow Wilson, disdained our Constitution and our founding. They criticized it as obsolete and outdated, and they wanted to create a whole new kind of government, a kind of permanent bureaucratic state that would make decisions for the American people. And unfortunately, in many regards, that they've succeeded in that project, but their intellectual ancestors on the Democratic left have now become openly hostile to America, not just critical of our founding, but condemning our founding as based on racism and bondage, not on freedom and equality. And it's not surprising when you have an entire party whose intellectual and activist energy are hostile to your country and its founding, that they are pursuing an agenda that would bring low American power and prosperity, and ultimately, as you say, John, infringe on some of our most basic rights, like the right to worship God, or the right to speak our mind freely, or to raise our kids. All of those are at risk by an aggressive anti-American progressive left today.
And I am so much concerned because we all have Democratic friends, and my common sense Democratic friends are scared. They are scared to challenge the woke culture of their party.
Yeah, I think they're very scared, John. You see this in Washington, D.C. I mean, we went through an exercise in the Senate last month where Chuck Schumer mounted a doomed effort to break two centuries of Senate customs and traditions to pass a federal takeover of our elections. It was doomed because it requires a 60-vote threshold, as do most measures in the Senate. And Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema made clear that even though they support the legislation, they would not break the Senate rules to change the Senate rules. Why did Chuck Schumer go through that doomed exercise? I think, and frankly, a lot of Chuck Schumer's Democratic colleagues think it's because he's scared of a primary challenge.
It's an election year.
Ocasio-Cortez. Yeah.
It's an election year. I live in New York. I know Chuck Schumer for 40 years. I think you're 100% correct.
And likewise, Joe Biden seems to be scared of the progressive left as well. I mean, just look at everything we know about where the coronavirus is in the country now. While the vaccines developed through Operation Warp Speed under the Trump administration do seem to remain effective against hospitalizations and death, they appear to be largely ineffective against the spread of the coronavirus. So therefore, there is no reason, for instance, to impose this kind of vaccine mandate where people are going to lose their livelihood. Likewise, cloth masks seem to be largely ineffective against the spread of this latest strain of the coronavirus. And very few people just carry around an N95 mask to use all day long and then to replace it the next day. Yet Democratic leaders like Joe Biden or many Democratic governors or mayors refuse to stop with their vaccine mandates and vaccine passports at restaurants. They refuse to allow people to fly on an airplane without putting on these useless masks. Why? I don't think it's because they're ignorant of these findings. It's because they're scared of their coronavirus neurotics in their party who would still want to live under lockdown with everyone hiding in their homes or wrapped in cellophane when they go outside their homes. Even though they know that's damaging to them politically in the broader context, they refuse to stand up to the neurotic liberals that provide so much of the energy in their party.
Our borders are under attack, and your state, or your home state of Arkansas, is only a hoot and a holler away from the Mexican border. Are you getting people that may be sick or maybe not acceptable into your state?
There's no doubt, John. And even though we're a lot closer to the southern border than you are in New York, when 100,000 Americans died last year of drug overdoses, the vast majority of those drugs coming from Mexico, every state is a border state, and every town is a border town. And Joe Biden's immigration policy has completely opened our borders. We had more than 2 million people enter our country as illegal migrants in the first year of the Biden presidency. John, that's like adding the entire state of Nebraska.
Wow.
They are bringing with them drugs. They are, in many cases, gang members or hardened criminals. And the best case scenario, John, if they're just economic migrants who want to try to find a better place and livelihood for themselves, they're taking jobs from Americans or they're driving down wages for Americans.
Senator, let me tell you something. I'm an immigrant. I believe in immigration, but there's got to be checks and balances. We had Ellis Island for many, many years, and they checked everybody that came in that's going to be hardworking, non-criminal, and pro-American, and that they get the vaccinations. Why can't we put along the Texas border or the Arizona border Ellis Island-type operations and have checks and balances?
So, John, the reason we don't do that under the Biden administration is the Democrats don't want to do it. It used to be that Democrats seemed to believe that border enforcement is racist and nativist and xenophobic. Now, John, they seem to believe that borders, period, are racist and xenophobic, that if you exclude anyone from your country, that you're a racist and a xenophobe and a nativist.
But, John, we're not going to have a country if we keep letting everybody in.
Because, John, a country is defined by its people and their history and their culture and their language and its land. If you don't have borders, you truly don't have a country. And as you point out, John, immigrants who have come here legally and who have strived to get to America so they can build a better life for themselves and succeed are, in many cases, some of the most patriotic Americans, because in many cases they were escaping the exact kind of tyranny and slavery that America has always been a beacon against.
The most loyal citizens that we have are the ones that came from Cuba, Venezuela, Russia, because they know how bad the other side is.
That's exactly right, John. But anyone whose first and defining act in their entry into America is to break our laws is always going to have that as their first and defining act. You know, John, you mentioned Ellis Island. Obviously, immigration was a lot different and a lot harder from Europe in the middle of the 19th century and the early 20th century. But still, when immigrants got to Ellis Island and other places like that and ports of entry, they had to demonstrate that, one, they could provide for themselves, that they wouldn't become what's known as a public charge, basically taking the dole. And two, that they didn't have communicable diseases. These are two of the most basic and longstanding principles of immigration law and policy in this country. That would be a pretty good standard to apply at our southern border today when people are showing up. Yet the Biden administration won't even do that. We've seen videos where they're facilitating the entry of these migrants in their country. One DHS official said, we want to help them get to their final destination. Well, their final destination, if they don't have a right to be here, John, should be back in their country of origin.
Agreed. Senator, we only have a minute or so left, maybe a minute and a half. What do you want to tell the American people?
Well, I know that things look a little bleak right now when the price of gas is approaching $4 and even $5 in some places, when you can't even find hamburger meat at the grocery store, when inflation is running rampant everywhere else, when crime is very high as well. But there are millions of normal Americans like all of you who are deeply concerned about these things, and they realize the Democratic Party has veered off into a far left-wing crazed ideology, and they are going to deliver a massive rebuke to them this fall in the election. So I want to encourage everyone to work hard this year for that election, whether it's for the United States Senate or for its, your local district attorney, to get criminals off the street, because we can turn the country around together.
Senator Tom Cotton, thank you so much. And you're a common sense senator, and we need more of you guys. And God bless you, and God bless America. Give us your website in case somebody wants to visit it.
Anyone can go visit our Senate website at cotton.senate.gov. If you want to see what we're up to politically in Arkansas and around the country, go to tomcotton.com.
Thank you so much. God bless you, and God bless America.
Thank you, John.